And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. He has 1 year under his belt as governor of Ohio. And now Mike DeWine is looking back on 2019 and ahead to 2020 with us. He joins us live on the phone right now. Governor Mike DeWine, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael, good to be with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. And I do want to start back with a look back on your first full year in office, 2019. When you're looking back as the calendar changes, what did you find that you were most proud of from last year?
You know, I think I'm very proud of the fact that we were able to really make an investment in Ohio's children and Ohio's future. We did this in a bipartisan way. The budget that we presented to the state legislature really made some revolutionary changes. For example, a real push on early childhood education, home visiting programs like we find in parts of Hamilton County where you have families at risk, kids at risk, and reaching those pregnant mothers at an early stage so that they can get the nutrition they need, get the help that they need. We did something in the area of K through 12 education that's not been done in Ohio before, and that is provided resources so that every child, every grade, every school can have real focus on drug prevention, what the educators call social-emotional learning. Very proud of that. We also answered comments that I've heard from teachers all over Ohio who say, look, I can teach what goes on in my classroom. Kids can learn, but the real problem is kids come, they're not prepared because of what's going on outside the classroom, maybe trauma that they've suffered at home because of they're living with a parent who is a drug addict or an alcoholic. Maybe it's just extreme poverty, lack of food. And so we've listened to what those teachers say, and for the first time gave every school in the state money. Schools that had more poor kids got more help, but to do what we call wraparound services or wellness, this is something that we have seen. The Euler School, for example, Cincinnati, kind of pioneered the use of a clinic in the school, mental health assistance, trying to reach kids at an early age who are having some trauma and having mental health challenges. These are all things that were a direct result to what teachers said to us and have said to me as I travel around the state, and that is, hey, look, I can teach, but it's what goes on outside that classroom. And so this is a real investment in Ohio's future.
And, Governor, this was $650 million?
That's with the legislature in a bipartisan way. Everything that I've just talked about, we passed in a bipartisan fashion in the state legislature. We had Republicans, we had Democrats on board. You know, we're really just focused in Ohio on trying to make sure that every person in Ohio has the ability to live up to their God-given potential. I just left a announcement of a program and a signing of a bill up in Northwest Ohio. In near Bluffton, a company up there where the Lieutenant Governor and I have really pioneered the idea that what we call tech credentials, where companies who have an employee who needs to upskill their talent so they can get a better, higher-paying job in the company and be more productive for the company but make more for them, we provide some assistance. So they can get these technical credentials. They can get that training. Part of it's paid for by the state. It's a partnership with the local career centers. You know, these programs are available all over Ohio. And if there's any employer listening, I would ask them to, you know, take the opportunity to look at these programs. But again, it's the whole goal is trying to get that particular individual, in this case it was workers who were already employed there, the training they need so they can live up to their full potential.
And Governor, how is that? I do have some questions about that. I'm curious about how this program is I guess, how it works, really, because you're looking at putting tax money, taxpayer money, into private industry so that these employees can be trained.
What you're really doing, Michael, let me just, if I could interrupt, you're really doing is providing the training for that individual. And what we require is that they have a recognized, what this is paying for is a recognized certificate, an industry-recognized certificate. So it means that if that employee wants to, that's portable. That goes with that employer. So that's It's an emphasis on the employee. But that's just one example of what we're trying to do in regard to deal with, I think, Ohio's greatest challenge. I'm very optimistic about our future. This is a magnificent state. I think the spotlight, frankly, is coming back to the Midwest, away from the West Coast, away from the East Coast. Quality of life here, ability to raise your kids here in a great environment, great place to start a business. Our challenge is to deal with the thing that I see often that's slowing Ohio down, and that is that companies say, look, I could expand, I could grow, we could get more customers, I could put a new shift on, but I'm not able to match up with the employees. I can't get the employees. And so as we look at Ohio's future, and I'll come back to this because I think it's the easiest way to explain it, making sure every Ohioan, whether in over the Rhine, whether they are in Ripley, Ohio, no matter where they live, where they grow up, we've got to do everything we can to make sure they can live up to their full potential. And if we do that, it's the right thing to do for those kids, and it's the right thing to do for the state.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, and live on the phone with us this afternoon is Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. Governor, again, we're grateful for your time today. I heard you mention that you thought the spotlight was maybe coming back from the West Coast into the Midwest, including Ohio. I'm hearing some chitter chatter that maybe Ohio's census count in 2020 may reflect a decrease in population. Is that a concern for you?
It certainly is a concern. I don't think we're going to see a decrease in population. But what we are seeing in Ohio over the last 40 or 50 years is fairly flat population. We've not grown very much at all in the last 50 years. The projections are similar for the future. When we look at what's causing that today, we're not getting a huge influx from outside Ohio. You've historically seen that in the last few decades, that population moving to the south and moving to the southwest. So we're not unique in the Midwest. We have the similar problem of other states in the Midwest. Look, the birth rate is down in this country significantly. It's the lowest for decades. That impacts Ohio just like it impacts other states. And that's why when I come back to trying to, people say, well, what keeps you awake at night or what do you worry about in regard to Ohio's future? First of all, I'm very bullish on Ohio. I can't think of a better place to raise a family. I can't think of a better place to live. But our challenge, and we have to recognize our challenge, is no real indication that we're going to have a massive increase in number of people in Ohio. We want to encourage people to come to Ohio. We want to keep our young people here. But we have to do everything we can to make sure everyone in Ohio lives up to their God-given potential. When we do that, that means the state, everybody's pulling their weight. Everybody can live a productive life. Everyone can live a good life. And Ohio will in fact, move forward. So that's why education is so important, early childhood education, development. Taking someone at mid-career and allowing them to expand their horizons, expand their training, that's why that's so very important. I think we also have potential with our great universities and colleges. In our part of the state, you not only have the University of Cincinnati, you've got Miami University. Go up to Dayton. We've got Wright State, University of Dayton, and on and on. And plus, all throughout the state, we have an abundance of small private liberal arts schools. If you look at an area where we have a real opportunity. It is in that area. We are a net importer of students. We have more students by far coming from other states to go to college here than we have students who are, live in Ohio who go to college in other states. When you add to that the fact that majority of kids who graduate from college, and they're not all kids, sometimes they're, you know, much older, but the majority of them will either end up with their first job 100 miles from where they grew up or 100 miles from where they went to college. So great opportunity, and that's why I've encouraged our universities and our colleges to do even more than they're doing to get help students get jobs while they're in college. Start that relationship with a business, whether that's an internship program or whether it's a co-op program or whatever it is. Building those relationships between the schools, their students, and local business is good for the student. It gives them that practical experience. It's good for the company. They can find out, you know, if that student is someone that they want to work, and they can begin to train them or work with them. But it's also great for the state because it gives us a much better shot at that young person staying in the state of Ohio and raising their family here and being productive in Ohio.
So, Governor DeWine, if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like you think that opportunity is the best answer to Ohio's relatively flat population in recent years.
Look, we've got to do all the other things we've got to do. I mean, you know, one of the first things we faced, frankly, when I became the governor of the state was an infrastructure problem. That had to do with our highways. We had to face up to that. We've been borrowing money for a decade and spending it, and we had a huge debt. And if we were going to keep our roads up, keep our infrastructure up, which is essential for us, for Ohio to move forward, you know, we didn't have any choice, frankly, than to raise the gasoline tax. And we did that, and we did it in a bipartisan way. It took a while because I don't think the legislature nor the public really had been brought into how bad of a situation we were in. And when I became governor, I didn't realize it either. So why should someone else understand it? But when we dug into the figures, it was abundantly clear if Ohio's going to move forward. We've got to take care of our basics. We've got to take care of our infrastructure. Water quality. One of the great assets Ohio has is water. 3 million people get their water from Lake Erie, just as an example. Of Ohioans. And yet we're seeing algae bloom on Lake Erie. We're seeing algae bloom in some of our smaller lakes in Ohio. We have certainly potential problem on the Ohio River. So we passed, legislature passed at my request what we called H2 Ohio, which is a way for us to really focus on making sure we are good stewards of our water and protect our water.
So, Governor, let me ask you a couple of follow-ups there related to water and also to infrastructure, starting with infrastructure, because we do know you have an ambitious transportation budget this year. There is a significant piece of infrastructure here in Cincinnati that connects to Covington, Kentucky, the Brent Spence Bridge.
It certainly is.
I'm wondering if you've spoken yet with the new governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, and whether that issue came up.
It did. I talked to the governor, congratulated him. I am confident that we're going to get this built. It is obviously is something that has to be built with Kentucky, and we are in those discussions now. The Ohio Department of Transportation, ODOT, has been talking. Jack Marshbanks, who I appointed to head up ODOT, has been talking with his counterpart in Kentucky, and also at a lower level as well. So, we're moving forward, but we're obviously not there yet.
I know that
it's really it's imperative, and it's if you look at where we are with the Brent Spence Bridge, it's structurally sound, but certainly functionally obsolete. It's way over capacity, built for approximately 80,000 vehicles a day. Today carries double that, 160. Twice its intended use. There was additional lane added, 86, but even with that, it does not do what we need to have done. So you got growing congestion. You got a safety problem, people weaving in and out That's a problem. Emergency response issues, no shoulders. So a lot of reasons why people in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, or anybody who uses that bridge should be very, very concerned and should be high on the priority list, and it is high on our priority list.
But there's also a multitude of reasons why it hasn't come yet, despite having an agreement between your predecessor and two governors ago now in Kentucky. And I know that Governor Beshear in Kentucky was adamant about being against tolling as a funding mechanism for the bridge. Do you think that's a realistic position in your view?
Well, look, I'm open to anything that we can take to build it, but it's going to take serious money. And it's not money that we have, or it's not money that Kentucky has. It's not like we can just go write a check for this bridge. So we hope to get help from the federal government, but we also know that we're going to have to help ourselves. And, you know, I have not had the specific discussion yet with the governor about tolls. You know, that certainly has been talked about as one way to generate the money that we need. No one likes tolls. No one likes paying that. So I'm open to discussion with the governor, and I don't want to get ahead of myself on public radio before I have a chance to talk with the governor, you know, about specifics, because I want to hear what he has to say. But we've got to build the bridge.
Our guest is Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. And another follow-up to something you mentioned moments ago about the water quality in the state. We've discussed on this program recently the issue of pollutants, or the potential issue of pollutants in water systems, specifically the ones that we know as PFAS or PFOA, and they were presented to audiences in the new film Dark Waters, bringing much wider attention to this issue. Your office asked the state health department and the state EPA to act on this issue by looking at the situation and coming back with a report. What do you hope to learn with that?
Well, first of all, you know, we had a meeting at the governor's residence with our directors, EPA, as well as health, and really went through the whole thing with this PFAS. And you're right, the movie, I've not seen the movie yet. I do want to see it. It's certainly got some, I'm told my son Pat tells me that it has some good Cincinnati scenes in there, as well as the Taft Law Firm and some people that at least the lawyers in the community certainly know. So it's very focused on Cincinnati. But that movie brings out, I'm told, the problem. And our problem was we didn't have any data. I mean, there's not been real good surveys done at all or testing of water throughout the state of Ohio. Where you've seen the testing is around Dayton, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and problems connected with that. But we also know that there must be other hot spots around the state, or we think there very well could. So before we can, you know, make any decision about what needs to be done, we have to do a survey. And so I told the directors, go ahead, get this survey going, and let's find out exactly where we are. We've been hampered, that federal government has really not come up with a standard. I don't think anybody knows exactly what the standard, you know, what is acceptable, what point is it danger. They have a number. Other states have looked at that number, and some have gone and said, no, that number is not adequate. So we're certainly looking at that, but the most important thing we can do is find out where, if any, hot spots that we have. And, you know, for our listeners, some of them may know a lot more about the science on this than I do, but many times you will find this from the foam that was used is used and by fire departments, for example, if they're out burning down a house, or maybe there's an area where they repeatedly use the foam, you know, these certainly can be hot spots. It gets in the aquifer, obviously, which is what the ultimate problem is.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking live right now with Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, who is on the phone with us. And we're looking back on 2019 and looking ahead to 2020. And Governor, in 2019, we did see the tragic, deadly shooting in Dayton, where a gunman left 9 people dead and more than 24 others injured in downtown. Can you talk a little bit about the legislation that was inspired by that event?
Yes. It's comprehensive. It does what I said I pledged to do, number one, it would be consistent with the United States and the Ohio Constitution and protecting Second Amendment rights. Second, it would have a chance, a good chance of passing the legislature. And third, it would actually do something and it would make a difference. Now, what it can't do, no legislation can do, is guarantee we're never going to have another tragedy like we did in Dayton. But what we can do is reduce the chances of that. We can save lives. And our proposal does it. It does it in several ways. And I know we're running out of time. I'll try to do this quickly. But I'll just take two of the numerous examples or numerous things it does. Number one, huge problem that I've seen throughout my career, both first as a county prosecutor, later on as lieutenant governor, later on as attorney general, now as governor. And that is, it's a family problem. A family has someone in their family who has a mental health problem, or they have a long-term substance abuse problem, and one day they start acting out, and the family is afraid that they will kill themselves or they'll kill somebody else. They have guns. They have access to guns, and the family calls the police. And too often we are not giving the police nor the family the tools they need to deal with this individual. So we have set up a very sophisticated process where that family can call the police, and that person can then it can be a determination made. Ultimately, has to be by a court that this person is a danger to themselves or a danger to others, and that person. The whole goal is to get that person help. That's number one. Number two, if it turns out that they need to be separated from their guns, then that can be done at the appropriate time. It's a temporary separation. It could be temporary. The second, I'll mention one other point. And if you talk to Mayor Cranley or you talk to mayors of any of our cities, and I never speak for any other mayor or for a mayor or for anybody else, but one of the concerns that we see in cities is violence that occurs. In Dayton, for example, the day 10 people lost their lives already that year, 14 other people had lost their lives, one or two at a time, in gun violence in the city. I'm sure the numbers of Cincinnati, in any major city in Ohio is going to reflect gun violence. One of the ways you dramatically reduce that is to go after repeat violent offenders who already have forfeited their right to have a gun. And if they're found with a gun, then we need to be able to separate them from society for a significant period of time. We can do that in our bill. It gives judges more discretion. It gives prosecutors more ability. But ultimately, it goes back to the judge, and we give the judge, frankly, a bigger opportunity to remove that person for a longer period of time if the judge feels that the facts warrant that. If we do that, we're going to save a lot of lives in our cities particularly.
And Governor DeWine, you said that anything that you proposed would be consistent with state and U.S. constitutions and also an important trait of the legislation. It would have to pass the state legislature. Well, what is the status of that proposal?
It is pending in the Senate. Senator Dolan from Cleveland is the lead sponsor. They've had hearings. We want to get it out of the Senate within the next month or two and then get it to the House and move forward. Now, there are some things that we've been able to do without legislation. For example, improving our criminal record system so that when someone goes in and to buy a gun and they have really committed a felony, and a violent felony, they're not allowed to have a gun anymore, that the record actually shows up. We have record problems in Ohio. We are working on that. That's something we can do from the executive branch without legislation. Another thing that we can do that is actually in the bill has to do with outstanding warrants. I think it would come as a shock to our listeners to know that many times someone is charged with a serious offense and that warrant is not put into the national database nor even maybe into the state database. We want to change that with legislation, require if it's a serious crime, it's got to go in both the national and the state database, because we don't want someone in Cincinnati being able to cross the river and escape accountability for a violent offense just because they crossed the river and went into Kentucky.
And Governor, I know you can't spend all day with us, but I do want to squeeze in a couple more questions if I can. And I do want to turn to the opioid crisis.
Sure.
And the opioid crisis, I'm wondering if it seems that we're much improved from where we were a decade ago. Is that your sense as well?
Well, we're certainly improved. We're not where we want to be. We're still losing too many people. We've seen great work, frankly, in local communities. We've seen in Hamilton County, for example, programs where the police, for the first time a few years ago, started really getting people into treatment, not something we normally think of police doing, but programs that actually work exceedingly well. We're seeing our drug courts expand, something that we have pushed. We put, as I said earlier in the program, a real emphasis on education, because we think education is the most important thing, and stopping people to go down before they go down that pathway. We're working to make treatment more accessible, but what continues to drive the death rate at a much higher rate than you would expect is that we have moved from the pain meds as the drug of choice, then to the heroin, and now what we're seeing is the Mexican cartels are mixing in fentanyl, which is coming out of China. And this fentanyl is ungodly deadly, 60, 70, 80 times more deadly than heroin, for example. And many of our first responders, when they respond with the naloxone and hit that person with the naloxone, it doesn't bring them back. And they've got to hit them 5, 6, 7, sometimes 10 times. And tragically, of course, sometimes they can't bring them back. It's the gravity of that fentanyl. And that is what continues to keep our death rate up. But yes, we are making progress. We're moving forward, but we're still losing people, and it's a horrible, horrible tragedy.
Governor, in terms of policy or legislation, what should Ohioans be looking forward to from your office in 2020?
Well, first of all, the bill that we talked about a moment ago, which is we call Strong Ohio, which we know will save lives. It's a result of a Dayton tragedy, but many of the things in that bill we've been working on for some time. We use this as an opportunity to package it all together and send it to the legislature. So if people want action, I would advise them to talk with their state legislators. Don't let rhetoric or labels get in the way. I would ask people just to drill down on what this bill actually does. It protects people's rights, but it really gives us an opportunity to save a lot of lives, and we will save lives if we're able to pass this bill. In the area of mental health, you're going to see us continue to focus on that and even ratchet that up. When we look at what's happening with young people today and the mental health problems, we're seeing the rate of suicide among young people. I can't think of much worse or anything worse than a family losing a child to suicide. It is just ungodly to think about it. It's horrible. But we're seeing this happen more and more and more. So we're going to continue to put emphasis on mental health challenges that we face. We're going to continue to put emphasis on job training, on education, K through 12, wraparound services. These are all things that, you know, are very important. And for those who like to get out and enjoy outdoors, I'm just frankly very proud of what we've done at the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. We've not only been able to put some more resources in there, and people are going to start seeing that in their state parks and the structure there, but our natural areas, which is some of the most wonderful things that we have in the state that had been de-emphasized in years past. We're emphasizing that again. So, again, this is a great place to raise a family. I can't think of a better place to live than Ohio. And, you know, we focus on the quality of life every single day and very optimistic about where we're going.
And what about you personally? Any New Year's resolutions?
I don't do New Year's resolutions. I'm on now on the countdown for spring training. So looking forward to the Reds and made a couple of interesting acquisitions and that's what I look forward to. You know, it's not that many days, probably a little over a month until pitchers and catchers report for spring training in Arizona. So.
It looks like it's going to be an exciting season for us. Governor Mike DeWine.
It'll be an exciting season.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your time, Governor.
Much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.